back, WNST, Taos of Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. It is football season, and fall has fell. It's October, for crying out loud. We're headed out to Denver, Colorado. My trips to Denver have always been better in January than October. We'll see how this one plays out here this week. Sean Drotar does the sports radio thing in Denver at the FAM 104.3. You can also find him at S Drotar. That's D-R-O-T-A-R out in Denver. You and I get together, and these things have been really, it's been an interesting little rivalry, you know, from Elway through Peyton Manning and Joe Flacco, and now there's this. And when we saw it on the schedule, we're like, well, the Broncos, they're the worst team in the AFC West. You know, never an easy trip, but different version of the Broncos. I think different mojo we have going into Denver this week for the team there.
It does seem like it. What you're seeing in a 3-0 Broncos team is it's an impressive change, but don't read too much into it. They have played the Giants. They have played the Jaguars. They have played the Jets. The Jets
are soft 3-0.
Yeah, very soft 3-0. And none of those three teams have even won a game. It's 0-9. And Vic Fangio, the Broncos head coach, who is probably on a hot seat right now with a new GM, George Payton, in town, didn't shy away from that. Said, look, the facts are facts. We've played teams that are 0-9, and that's the reality of the situation. So for the Broncos, in many ways, the season in reality kind of starts against this game with the Ravens.
Well, it's nice to start 3-0 if that's where you are. And thinking that they were the worst team in the AFC West, I'm not sure about that. We'll find out. I mean, Raiders look formidable. Obviously, the Chiefs are the Chiefs, despite what happened last week. And the Chargers have this kid that can play quarterback right now, and I think they're different. For the Ravens, and you've watched us the last couple of weeks, this has been like rubber bands and paper clips and 66-yard field goals and, you know, by any means necessary. This is not the strongest version of the Ravens that you'll be seeing this weekend, and certainly a really depleted version of the Ravens versus what we thought we had on August 1st.
Yes, obviously. The Broncos are running into the same situation. A lot of injuries. Fortunately, they've hit in areas they have depth. Wide receiver has been an issue. Obviously, they've lost Ronald Darby, one of their free agent signings, but they drafted Pat Surtain, who looks ready to start and looks fine. But they've lost a middle linebacker, Josie Jewell. The injuries have bit the Broncos, too, and we may not see both of their normal guards. Graham Glasgow and Dalton Reisner both suffered injuries that are considered to be minor, but we don't know. So the Broncos are a little beaten up, too. Look, the Ravens are a better team, but coming to Denver, as you pointed out, is always a tough trip. Justin Tucker could probably hit from 70 out here in the mile high air.
Let's find out. Let's try.
Yeah,
why not?
We find that out at halftime. Hopefully for the Broncos, not at the end of the game like you saw last week. But obviously, Lamar Jackson presents a completely different type of threat, and the Broncos defense will be tested to do it. Now, Von Miller is back. Von Miller looks like the Von Miller of old, missed all of last season, but has dedicated himself to diet and fitness and looks like the kind of guy that we saw not too long ago. He's already got 4 sacks, leading the Broncos defense looking fearsome there. But
COVID was a little bit of his story last year, right?
A little bit. Yeah, he did catch it. That was before the tear in the leg. But yes, he did catch it and actually was one of the guys that made a big deal to his teammates that they probably needed to get a vaccine because he was rather sick with it, said he didn't feel right for months. So he was one of the kind of leaders in the clubhouse for the Broncos trying to get that moving. And the Broncos are one of the more vaccinated teams in the league. But this defense doesn't present a lot of blitzing possibilities when you think about it, even though you have a guy like Von Miller. Vic Fangio likes to play things pretty straight up. So he'll go ahead and play his normal 2 safeties back. He will basically try to take away all the big plays and allow the Ravens to live with the little chunk plays, little runs. That's fine. They just don't want to get beat over the top. And they think they can keep the game close that way, given the very improved offense they have under Teddy Bridgewater, who now finds himself in the top 5 in every statistical category among quarterbacks after 3 games.
Bridgewater, I've always been a fan. I'm from the beginning, and then the injury, and then fighting back, and then being with that god-awful Carolina team last year. You know, I had you on when Flacco made his way out there to you and, you know, talked about whether he could be a guy that could get them to 10 wins 2 years ago. Bridgewater, I don't think anybody took that seriously, but I've always liked him. And I thought, given in the right situation, right offense, he is the veteran leader there. It's a different role for him, right?
Oh, definitely. This is a young Broncos offense for the most part. Garrett Bowles, who's still considered a young player himself after his new deal, is one of the oldest guys on the offense at 29. So, I mean, this is very young. Bridgewater himself is 28. So Bridgewater has stepped in, and we talk about that right situation. This appears to be the right situation. This is a team that needed leadership, that was looking for it. Bridgewater has certainly provided that. These guys, in a short amount of time, will run through a wall for Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, they love him, and every week it's more and more obvious. What Bridgewater has done is given a stability, a confidence, a competent offense, which you haven't seen in Denver in a while. And given the way the NFL is playing right now, that there are 10 quarterbacks that have completed over 70% of their passes. So this is a year in which basically you're a quarterback trying to take what the defense gives you, be accurate, just kind of move the ball down the field, and then hope in the red zone you can be efficient. The Broncos need to be better in the red zone, but Bridgewater is completing 76% of his passes. So he is making the right decisions, and he is sending it to the right guys. And most importantly, he hasn't thrown a single pick. The Broncos are comfortable with their defense. They will live with punts. What they don't want is interceptions, and Bridgewater has at least shut that faucet off for now.
Sean Drotar does all things sports radio in the Rocky Mountain High City of Denver, Colorado. Been to Red Rock since the pandemic has subsided yet, Sean, or no?
No, not, unfortunately, not yet. They just started getting concerts up there just a couple weeks ago. It's getting a little bit towards fall in Colorado, which is beautiful, but might be a chance to sneak up there before
brisk. Yeah. For you and watching the Ravens, and you see the Ravens on the Broncos schedule, they Lamar's coming to town. It'll be a show. It certainly has been different this year. You know, three running backs go down the week before the season begins. The wide receiver who just got onto the field this week for the first time, their first round draft pick, Rashad Bateman. We're never going to see the full complement of this team. Marcus Peters is gone. We've been losing players two a week for 5 weeks now, right? But Lamar, he is the X factor. I mean, at any point, if it's third and 38, he can break it for 39. I think he's not respected enough by fans thinking he can't throw the football. He threw the football as well as I've seen him throw it last week. Marquise Brown wasn't catching the football. He was dropping the football. Lamar's off to a nice start, and that probably doesn't bode well for most defenses trying to prepare to play him this week.
No, and what you have to do when you're facing Lamar Jackson, obviously, is you have to make sure you don't over-pursue. That's when defenses fall apart, the idea that you over-pursue because he's so athletic, so fast, he cuts back, and now all of a sudden he turns one of those plays into 38 yards. So that's one of the things you have to watch for. The Broncos defense is aware of that, at least in the early going against the three admittedly bad opponents they've played. They really have been very, very patient as a defense. They've been consistent as a defense. They have veteran leaders in the safety position, and Justin Simmons and Kareem Jackson, Kyle Fuller now added to the Broncos, very familiar with Vic Fangio from his time when he was a Pro Bowler in Chicago. So this is a talented defense that has good leadership and doesn't make a lot of mistakes. So it would not surprise me if Lamar Jackson had a good day and ended up with 60, 70 rushing yards. That would not shock me. What it would shock me is if he ended up with one of those 30 to 40 yard plays. I think the Broncos are willing to live with it in chunks. They just need to make sure they don't overdo it and then find themselves in big trouble when Lamar Jackson takes off.
Well, Sean, for me with Vic Fangio, I go back with him a little bit. He was a assistant here with Brian, and I got to know him a little bit. Haven't seen him in a couple of years, but I was wondering whether he's going to keep that gig there. You know what I mean? Like that cupboard's been pretty empty the last couple of years. That tends to make coaches not look so well. The survival part of all of this and general manager and just the changing of the guard for the franchise in a lot of ways. 3-0, he's no longer on the hot seat, I don't think. I think he's going to make it a little while.
It seems like it. Obviously, with the change in GM, sometimes you see the old coaching staff get blown out and Fangio not been good. But now they have won these three games, and they're in a very tough division. At the same time, that the math tells you that over the last 25 years, if you start 3-0, your chances of getting in the playoffs are about 75%. And I think if Fangio does that, you're going to find a team that's happy to keep him. He has had to mature as a head coach. Sometimes the way he treats people is a little different when he talks about them in the media. And there has been questions about clock management, timeout management, replay management, that doesn't seem like he's really entirely comfortable with all of that yet. They have gotten him some help. They have some analytics folks that are in his ear. We'll see if it changes it. But obviously, when you have a good defense like the Broncos do, and you're winning games, and it's not as if they've been squeaking by. I will say this, with the games against the Giants and the Jaguars and the Jets, these games weren't even as close as the score would make it appear, because the Giants scored a touchdown on the last second of the game in a pointless score. You saw a Jets team that couldn't even get past their own 40 more than one time. So they have doing what you're supposed to do. You have to beat who's on your schedule, whoever it is. But they haven't skated by. They have done what you want to do. They have blown those teams away.
Well, yeah. I mean, you've downplayed the competition. It's obvious. I mean, those three teams might not win a dozen games between them this year, right? But that being said, you're supposed to beat them 26-0. And the other part of that is pitching a shutout. The Ravens were pitching a shutout in Detroit the other day, and then all hell broke loose after, you know, and they needed to get saved by a 66-yard kick. So things happen very quickly. To hold a shutout for four quarters, you know, doesn't matter to me if it's against the Jets or whoever it is. That's an impressive thing.
Yeah, I think so. It is very hard to shut a team out in today's NFL. Very, very difficult, especially since just kickers are so good. You don't exactly have to get all that deep into enemy territory to at least get three. So it was an impressive performance. They're very confident. It builds on itself. That the defense is going to be, I think, something of a challenge for the Ravens. I think the Ravens will certainly be able to score. I think they'll be able to move the ball. I do think they're going to probably get to 20-plus points, even on this Broncos defense, because they are so potentially explosive. It is the Broncos offense versus the Ravens defense that I think is going to decide this game. Can they be efficient enough and effective enough against a Ravens front that really can do a very nice job of pressuring and stopping the run? The Broncos have not been able to get the run going the way they've wanted. Now, some of that has been defensive schemes that are basically designed to stop the Broncos in the running game. The first three games, teams have been daring Teddy Bridgewater to beat them. Well, he has been doing it. Cortland Sutton had a career-high game against Jacksonville. But against the Ravens, a significantly better team, they're going to have to get the run going too. So this is the biggest test for that Broncos offense. They just lost KJ Hamler, their speedster, for the season. So we will find out. It's interesting, too, for Baltimore fans. You're going to see something very unique. The Broncos go to 13 personnel a lot, three tight ends, and they've done it on third downs as well, because all three of their tight ends, Noah Fant, Albert Okwuegbunam, and Eric Saubert, who they added this year, can all catch, and they're at least all willing blockers to get in the way. So with the injuries the Broncos have had on their receivers, with Cortland Sutton, Tim Patrick, they're fine. Trying to look for a third receiver, they added David Moore off the Raiders practice squad. Obviously, he had a pretty good run in Seattle, so the Broncos were lucky to get a guy with that much experience off a practice squad. But that three tight end set is going to drive a lot of what the Broncos do. And they want to go to Noah Fant. They want to go to Albert Okwuegbunam. These three guys have caught a grand total of 19 passes, and they've caught them on 19 targets. So Bridgewater and then the tight ends are in sync. It's more an idea if the Broncos are willing to go ahead and go with that power alignment and see if they can do a little bit against that Baltimore front.
There's a feeling they'll get Judy back later in the year, though, right?
Yes, yes. The plan is, originally when he went down, it was a 6 to 8 week. So they hope to see him before the bye. They also hope to see Bradley Chubb before the bye, but Chubb's is far more touch and go. Judy is probably going to be back.
Sean Drotar is here. If you're listening on the radio, you're missing out on his really cool posters behind him and the 1977 Phantom Denver Broncos championship. Right. Dude, that's old school. I like that. Screaming Craig Morton at me is what it's screaming.
Yeah, well, that was it. And of course, you were right. That's one of the error ones. They didn't win that Super Bowl. They lost to Dallas pretty badly. And Morton set the interception record that still stands in the Super Bowl today.
Ah, poor Red. He was struggling that day. I know. Sean, last thing for you. The whole Denver sports beat and COVID and getting out of this. And I mentioned Red Rocks to you and the things. 311's playing the Red Rocks on Saturday. I got a lot of Ravens fans going after that. The heartbeat of all of it and getting it back a little bit. The Broncos stand in the center of all of that. People couldn't go to games last year. I would think that Jets game was a little bit of a celebration. I know it was for Ravens fans, the Chiefs game and the outcome and all that. It was a spectacular night in Baltimore here 2 weeks ago. But having it taken away for a period of time, I would think that 3-0, you know, y'all used to brag back in the day, you know, no unused tickets, you know, full sellouts for 30 years, all that. people will be in the seats this week. This is different than going in there 2 years ago when Flacco's kind of halfway and Locke's no good. And this feels like they're good. And I feel like Denver will be way in on a 3-0 football team.
They've been in pure attendance and in pure truth. I actually went to the game against the Jets as a fan because I wanted to be in the stands. I wanted to get the feeling. I wanted to do that. So got a ticket and
come.
That's right.
Yeah,
they got a lot with Zach Wilson, by the way, probably less so with Lamar Jackson. But by pure attendance, it was the most attended game in the NFL last week. The most people at any single game. Denver, of course, now with a 3-0 team, they know they have an exciting team in Baltimore coming in that is a threat, that has a great player in Lamar Jackson who was worth the price of admission by himself. Yeah, I do expect that stadium to be absolutely rocking. And it's going to be fun because it feels like the NFL's back. It feels like the city's back. And you hit it on the head. In Denver, in many ways, the Broncos are the heartbeat of the city. How, as they go, the city goes. When they're 3-0, people don't cut you off in traffic as often. You run into sort of a happier town in general. And I do expect and be very excited. There is a little bit of a tentative approach simply because I think Broncos fans are concerned about the competition they played. They're still not sold on Bridgewater, although he's been terrific. They want to see the Broncos beat a good team before they really buy in. So if this game is close, if the Broncos even have a lead at some point, yeah, I expect that stadium to make it very, very difficult. Audibles are not going to be easy for the Ravens this weekend.
Tucker's good from 70. Just keep that in mind. Just a little warning shot there. For Sean Jotar, Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan in Denver at the Rocky Mountains, amidst all of that beauty that we get to see every couple of years. For everybody traveling out there this weekend, I hope you have a good time. Sean, I hope you fasten your seatbelt for number 8 there. He's slippery. Watch out for him.
Yeah, I think Denver's well aware of it. I don't know what they can do about it just yet, but they're certainly aware.
Hips don't lie. Luke will be in Owings-Mills all week preparing you for the Ravens battle in Denver against the Broncos this weekend. All of it brought to you by our friends at Royal Farms. Real fresh, real fast. Dennis Colazzos and our friends at Coons Ford will be bringing you the tech service with all the injuries. Any breaking news, you get that first. Now the Orioles season's over as well. All that happens on the Coons Ford WNST tech service. I am Nestor. Easy to find me. Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Snapchat. At Nacho Mama's, doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour on Friday in Towson. Come on out, have a crab cake, and honor Scunny. And we're going to be with the mayor, Brandon Scott, next Friday, the Maryland Crab Cake Tour at Coco's. That's his favorite crab cake, so Brandon Scott will be out next week. So the Crab Cake Tour is powered up by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. They're going to play some football at 4 o'clock on Sunday in Denver. We got you full coverage right here at WNST AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore, where we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.